sing these songs, as I often do. But every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is you. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, we command our souls today. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your
Praise the Lord. Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you. Why don't you please stand up with us this as we get started? I just want to read the scripture. You know, the first song that we're singing is called You Are Good. And the second song also is going to talk a lot about the goodness of God. And this scripture here in Psalm 145, in verse number 8, it says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all. The Lord is good to all. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. I'm so thankful for the goodness of God. Do you know that every good thing in your life is from the Lord? The Bible says every good thing is from above. Every good thing in your life, we can be thankful to God. Amen. And it's amazing when you sing about the goodness of God. I think about so many times in the Old Testament when they faced an enemy, even when they went into battle. I'm thinking in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 when they were surrounded by this enemy. They went into battle singing, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. And as they declared the Lord's goodness, God went to fight for them. God gave them the victory. So I want to encourage you this morning. We all have got something we can be thankful. We can be thankful for the good things in our life. A great key to living happy is to be grateful. To think about all the good things in your life and be grateful instead of focusing on maybe some of the things that aren't going the way you want to go. That causes you to live unhappy. But when you think about the good things, let me tell you right now, if you got up this morning and you had hot water, you can be thankful. Hallelujah. And the reason I say that is because our hot water heater blew out last night. My wife had a bath and I said, I'll have it after you. And because we like to save money, you know, we share baths. I'm teasing. So I put on the hot water because I like to top it up. And like nothing came out. I said, what's going on? There's no hot water. And then my brilliant brain began to figure it out. I went down to the garage and all the water's pouring out the heater, you know. So I turned off the water. So this morning, I went to Nadine's, my daughter's house. Fortunately, she lives 5 minutes away. I went to go shower and shave. So I had my gown on, my dressing gown, my flip-flops, my shampoo and my razor, and I went into her house, shaved, came out. I don't know what the neighbors must have thought. Who's this guy? But if you got hot water this morning, you can be thankful. You can be this. There's a reason you can give thanks to God. Amen. So I want to encourage you, sing with us, clap your hands, give it all you got. Let's show God that we are thankful for His goodness in our life. Amen. Amen.
never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you'll never, oh, this we can't depend. Without
revival.
Come on, tell the Lord, make it your prayer, Lord.
I need revival.
Revive us again, Lord. That's what we need. We need revival. We need to be revived. We need to be on fire for God. That's what America needs. That's what the world needs. We need a revival. We need a revival across America. We need a revival around the world. Don't you agree with that? And let me tell you, revival starts in you. It starts with you. You can't be saying, Lord, send revival, send revival. You've got to be saying, Lord, let the revival start on the inside of me. Let me be set on fire. Let me be set ablaze with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray. We pray that you'd send revival to America. We pray, Lord, that the fire of your Spirit would sweep across this nation. From the west to the east and from the north to the south, that there would be a mighty revival, that your church would be on fire, that the body of Christ would rise up and be on fire for you, that they would go forth as ministers of a flame of fire, declaring your word, declaring your goodness. We pray, Lord, for America, that you would send revival, that you would move in this nation in the name of Jesus. If you agree, shout amen, somebody. Shout amen if you agree. Give God praise. Come on, give the Lord praise. Put your hands together. Give him a shout. Hallelujah. I need revival.
That's what we need. We need a hunger to start stirring in our hearts, right? A hunger for the things of God. A hunger for more of what God has. Praise God. Well, welcome to church this morning. So glad to see you. Won't you just turn and greet somebody? Tell them how good it is to see them, and you may be seated. Thank you. Welcome to Ascend Church. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're so glad you've joined us. Welcome to everybody present. We have people that watch from around the world, and we're so glad that you do. Thank you for joining us. If our Ascend Church members that are not back in church yet, we miss you. Come back. Come back. We're calling you. Can't wait to see you. So thank you for watching today. We're so glad for each and every one of you that are here. Happy Father's Day to all the dads. Happy Father's Day to all of you. I'll get to that in a minute. I just want to welcome any visitors that we have today. If you are here for the first time, we'd just like to honor you, welcome you. We'd just like to give you a visitor pack where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand? Anybody? God bless you. Welcome. Come on. Anybody else? Just thank you. Our ushers would have got those to you. And in there's a couple of things we ask. There's a guest card, if you wouldn't mind just filling it out. And at the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop it in. It's a thank you for joining us this morning. Praise the Lord. Good. I just want to remind you that our clipboard comes by, just mark it. It's a register. It helps us just keep in touch with who's here and who's away. I can see we're in it in the summer already, right? We're kind of moving into the summer here. Easy way to stay in touch is on our text messages from the church. So if you don't get the text messages, just text the word ASCEND to 313131. And those of you that are watching online, check in on Facebook. Let us know where you're watching from. Share the live stream. If you're here and you want to just share the Facebook live stream, go ahead and do that. We've got the Facebook and Instagram pages that we like to use to minister to other people, to reach out and share things with people. You can download our app, the Ascend Church app. There's a barcode on your seat. Go ahead and do that. And we like that. There's various ways to watch. You can watch on our Ascend Church website, which is ascendchurch.us, the Ascend Church app on YouTube, Ascend Church Jupiter, and on Facebook. And what I love about even Facebook and YouTube, well, all of them, that these messages are archived. So you can go back. Maybe you're going through something, you've got anxiety. You go back and you look for a message that just will build up your faith in that area. In fact, we were talking to Angela and we were saying there's so many messages that we have that we kind of want to categorize, because it's nice to have something, just a resource that you can go to when you need it. Amen? And like I said, happy Father's Day. Can we have all the fathers stand to their feet, please? Just give them a big round of applause. All the dads. All the fathers. Thanks, Miguel. We're going to pray. Stay on your feet. Come on, we're going to pray for them. We're going to stretch our hands out to you. You know what? This is the difference. Mike Francine was asking me on the way to church today, what's church attendance like on Father's Day compared to Mother's Day? I said, Mother's Day, the mothers say, for Mother's Day, what I'd like is I want my whole family in church with me. And so we have these rows of all these children we haven't seen for a while. Dads, not so much, right? But we're so glad. Huh? The dads sleep in, watch football. Not these ones, they're right here. But we want to honor you. I want to pray. So let's stretch our hands towards them and pray. Father, we pray for every one of these men of God that are standing here. Father, we have grandfathers, we have fathers, we have young fathers. We ask you, Father, today that you would give them everything that they need to do the job that you've given them. We pray, Father, that you would strengthen them from within. You would give them the mental, the wisdom to deal with every age group, Father, from the baby stage right up to the grandparenting and great-grandparenting. Father, we pray for your wisdom to flood their heart and flood their mind. We pray, Father, they'd be filled with courage. They'd be filled with strength. They would feel appreciated, Father God. They would know that you are on their side, that you are working with them. You are fighting for them. You are filling them with everything that they need. And we just pray for your blessing upon their lives today. We pray for the year to come, Father, that we thank you, you go before them, you direct them, that they know which way to go, and they know that you are supporting them every step of the way, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Give them one more big round of applause. If you did not get a Father's Day gift, just wave your hand. If you didn't get a Father's Day gift, just wave your hand. The ushers will get one to you. There you go. Come on. You got to wave it a little. People do like, and then ushers don't see them. There you go. Ushers, thank you. Thank you. Just wave it. Roxroy will get to you. Praise God. I'm ready for you. You look like you're ready.
Praise God. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I saw Roxroy. Where you at? Where did you go, Roxroy? I saw you this morning on Facebook. You put a post about Father's Day, and you had Louis Vuitton bags behind you. Where's my Louis Vuitton bags? I'm fine. He got Louis Vuitton for Father's Day. Did you bless yourself, or did somebody bless you? Your family? Your wife? Your children? Bless their heart. Bless their heart. Send him over to train mine if you don't mind. Are you well this morning? Well, we're glad to see you in God's house. Let's just pray before we get into God's word this morning. Lord, we thank you that you are so good, Lord. We thank you that you are so merciful. We thank you, Father, even when we are faithless, you remain faithful. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your word today. I thank you for every person who's here, Lord, every person who's watching this. I pray that you will speak to every heart. I pray, Lord, that your word will come alive in our heart. That, Father, that we will have revelation, that we will have understanding, that we will come to know you better. We will come to know your will for our life, Father. And I thank you, Father, that we will not just be hearers of your word, but we will be doers. We will put what we hear today into practice in our life. And we give you all the praise for everything said and done in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, wherever you may be watching from, we welcome you today. People are watching us online on Facebook and YouTube on our website, and we're so glad that you're joining us today, aren't we? Today I want to continue the series I began last week called The Three Greatest Success Habits. That's what we started last week, and this is part number two. And so last week was part number one, and I'm going to continue on with that. Our foundation scripture we're looking at is in Joshua 1, verse 8. Now, this scripture means so much to me. It's like I've really tried to base my life on this scripture. I've tried to live my life according to this scripture. I can't tell you how powerful this is, because think about it. Joshua is about to take over from Moses. Take over from Moses. Talk about a hard act to follow. But God gives him instruction. And this is what the Lord tells to Moses, to Joshua. In Joshua 1 verse 8, he says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. What does that mean? That means always speak and say what God's word says. To keep the book of the law, God's word, on your lips means to keep speaking and saying what God's word says. And then it says, meditate on it day and night. Now, we spoke about that last week. Meditating and thinking about and dwelling on the word of God day and night. And it says, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. So the three success principles are meditate in the word of God, speak the word of God, and do the word of God. It says, if you do that, then you will be prosperous and you will be successful. And so I said last week, sometimes when people hear that word success and prosper, they just think about money. And that is a part of it, but that's not all of it. Because you can be successful financially and be a failure in your marriage. You can be successful financially, be a failure as a parent, or in other areas. Maybe, you know, if you're in the hospital and you got, you know, you're sick, well, you may be financially successful, but you're not prospering in your health. God wants us to prosper and be successful in every area of our life. Are you with me? And God says, if you want to be successful, meditate in my word day and night and keep saying what my word says. Keep my word always on your lips. Why does God say to make sure that we keep his word on our lips? Because God knows that our words have creative power. God knows that when you speak something out, you give life to what you're saying. The scripture says in Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. Notice that. We are going to eat the fruit of our words. We're going to bear the consequences of our words. In other words, our words have consequences. In fact, the contemporary English version says, words can bring death or life. Talk too much and you'll eat everything you say. You know, that's the saying, you're going to eat your words. You know, that's literally true. Your words that you speak are producing fruit in your life. You are actually eating the fruit of what you've been saying yesterday and the week before and the month before and the year before and the decade before. What you've been saying, you are eating the fruit of your words. The Living Bible says men have died for saying the wrong thing. Now, your words are powerful. Your words have consequences. Your words produce fruit. It's one thing to believe you're blessed. That's important. But when you say it, that takes on a whole new meaning, man. That's when blessings come looking for you. The scripture says in Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It doesn't say let the redeemed of the Lord think so, believe so, hope so. I mean, that's good. But you've got to take it one step further, not just believe it and think it and hope it. You've got to say it. If you're going to go to the next level, you've got to say what the Word of God says about you. If you're going to accomplish your dreams, overcome that obstacle, break that addiction, you've got to start declaring it. It's got to come out of your mouth. That's how you give life to your faith. When God created the world, He didn't just think it into being. He didn't just believe there would be lights and lands and oceans and animals. He had it in His heart, but nothing happened until God spoke. That's how God created this world. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 6, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And it was so. In verse 9, God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. In verse 11, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. In verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, and to give light to the earth. And it was so. Notice God said it, and then it happened. Verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, the cattle and the creeping things and the beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. Now, you know, God could have said when he wrote Genesis that, and God said, let there be light, let there be this, let there be this, let there be this, let there be that, and listed it all, and at the end say it was so. But God specifically, verse by verse, said, and God said, and it was so. And God said, because He's trying to let us, He's teaching us something here, that your words produce results in your life. God's thoughts didn't set it into motion. His words did. God spoke everything into existence. All creation came into being because God spoke it into existence. And you know, it's the same principle today. You can believe all day long. You can hope all day long and not see anything happen in your life. You can have faith in your heart. You can have big dreams. You can be standing on the promises of God and never see anything change. What's the problem? Nothing happens until you begin to speak. You've got to begin to declare it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 in verse 13, we have the same spirit of faith. Say, I got the same spirit of faith. Who do we have the same spirit of faith as? As God. We have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed and then I spoke in faith. So we also first believe and then we speak in faith. First, you've got to believe what God says about you. Then you've got to say what God says about you. Are you with me? Instead of just believing and hoping and praying that you're going to get out of debt, you've got to say so. You've got to say what God says about you. And the scripture says in Deuteronomy 28, you shall lend and not borrow. Doesn't it say that? So you've got to be saying, I'm coming out of debt. I'm the head and not the tail. I will lend and never need to borrow. You've got to start saying it before it becomes a reality in your life. In Job 22, verse 28, it says, you will also declare a thing and it will be established for you. Say, I will declare it, and it will be established. Is that what it said? Did I change anything in the Bible? I just believe
what the Bible says. See, when you speak, just like when God spoke, things begin to happen. Opportunities begin to find you. Good breaks, promotion, ideas begin to track you down. Instead of just thinking, well, I hope I get over this illness, Pastor Steve, I'm really praying, I'm going to get better. That's good, but you've got to take it one more step and you've got to start declaring it. I'm strong. I'm healthy. I will live and not die. The Lord is restoring my health. With long life, He will satisfy me. God is my healer. By His stripes, I was healed. You've got to begin to say it. That's what activates your faith. Instead of just hoping you have a good year or just hoping you accomplish that dream. Hope is good, but nothing happens until you speak. Before you leave the house every day, man, you should declare, this is going to be a great day. The Lord's with me. Something good's going to happen today. This is my year. 2021 is my year. Things have shifted in my favor. God's about to show me something I've never seen before. Amen. When you talk like that, you know what happens? Angels go to work for you. They begin to open new doors for you. They begin to line up the right people for you. They begin to arrange things in your favor. All of us are hoping and praying and believing about something. But the question is, are you giving life to your faith by speaking it out of your mouth? Psalm 91, verse 2, the psalmist said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, He is my God, in Him I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Now notice the connection. I will say of the Lord, and surely He will deliver me. I will say it, and surely He will do it. It doesn't say, He didn't say, I believe the Lord will be my refuge. No, He went further. He went around speaking it out. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my protector. And then what happened? God became His fortress, became His refuge. See, God was saying, in effect, if you're bold enough to speak it, I'm bold enough to do it. Have you ever declared that your dreams are coming to pass? Have you ever said with your mouth, I will pay off my house, I will start my own business, I will get my degree, I will lose this weight, I will see my family restored? Have you ever declared that with your mouth? You see, whatever God's put in your heart, it needs to get in your conversation. You got to talk like it's going to happen. You got to talk like it's already on the way. Amen. When I get married, not if I get married. When I graduate from college, not if I graduate from college. When I see my family restored, not if I see my family restored. It's not if it's going to happen, but when it's going to happen. That's your faith being released. Amen. What's the opposite of Psalm 91, verse 2 and 3? I will not say of the Lord, and surely He will not do. That's the principle. Nothing happens until you speak. Amen. I remember when we lost our building on Center Street 2 years back. I didn't know how we're going to get into another building. But I just started saying. God put it in my heart. And thank God, I started to just say it out of my mouth. I said, the Lord's bringing us another building. And it's going to be a better building in a better location. God's restoring double. Our payment's going to be half what it is right now. The Lord's making a way where I don't see a way. The Lord's going before us. He's fighting my battles. My God supplies all of my needs. I didn't just think about it. I didn't just pray about it. I didn't just believe and hope it would happen. That's all good. But I took it one step further. I started declaring it. I declared it, and guess what? God did it. God did it. I get a phone call out of the blue from the owner of this building, and he said, you know, I saw me on TV on a commercial we did, and he said, I've got a building, I want to sell it to you, and he's a Jewish man, and long story short, we ended up getting in this building. Can I tell you, we're in a better building, we're in a better location, and our mortgage is half what it used to be on the other building. Everything I said, God did. Then when we got in the building, when we bought the building, we needed hundreds of thousands of dollars to renovate the building because we totally gutted this building. It was the Girl Scout building, and it was like 25 little offices. We took out every wall, all the flooring, all the ceilings. I mean, all we had was the outer shell, And we totally redid it. The downstairs here is 8,000 square feet and the upstairs 2,000. So what do you think it's cost to redo 10,000 square feet? Let me tell you, it costs a couple of pennies for sure. It costs hundreds of thousands of dollars that we didn't have. What did I do? I started declaring it. I started saying, our God, thank you, Lord, you supply all our needs. Thank you, we have all the money we need for the down payment, for the zoning, for the lawyers, for the renovations. Thank you. In my mind, I had no idea how that was going to happen. But here we are. Here we are. Praise God. Can I tell you what I didn't say? I didn't say, oh, I tell you what, I don't know how we're going to get this money to renovate this building. Man, it's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know where we're going to get it. Lay up at night with my, lie awake. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? No. I said of the Lord, like the psalmist, God, you're bigger than any obstacle. I know you supplying all my needs. You El Shaddai, you the God who's more than enough. If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. I remember when we first started our church in Cape Town in 1991. We were 27 years old. We started our church. When we first started the church, the building, you know, it was half full. And people would come late. They talk about island time and there's Africa time. I found out that there's late people in every country. Because people tell me I'm late. I'm from Bahamas. That's why I'm late. There's late people everywhere you go. And so they would come late. I mean, seriously, half of them wouldn't come until about 9:30. And I would say, I just started saying, the day's going to come when this building's going to be so full that if you don't get it on time, you're not going to be able to find a seat. And it happened. If you get there late, you wouldn't get in. And I declare, the day's coming at Ascend Church. If you don't get it by 10 o'clock, you won't be able to get it. You'll be in the lobby watching on the television. I declare it. Someone said, Pastor Steve, I don't want that. Well, too bad. I'm saying it. What are you saying of the Lord? Are you saying, oh, my problems are so big, my dreams, they seem impossible, my marriage is so messed up, we're never going to be restored? No, don't talk about how big the problem is. Talk about how big your God is. When you say of the Lord, you're my healer, you're my way maker, you're my dream giver, you're my restorer, you're my vindicator, you're my provider, you're my healer, you're my peace, you're my victory. That's when God shows up, man, and does more than what you can even ask or think. Are you declaring victory over your life, over your family, over your career? Because remember, nothing happens till you speak. You've got to declare it over your life. When you get up in the morning, you need to make some declarations of faith. You need to say what God's word says about you. Declare that it will come to pass. For example, Deuteronomy 30 verse 9, the Lord your God will make you successful in everything you do. It's a promise of God to you. So what should you be saying? Lord, thank you. You make me successful in everything I do. Everything I put my hand to, you cause it to prosper. Thank you, Lord. How about Psalm 32 verse 8? The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. What should you declare every morning? Thank you, Lord, that you're guiding me along the best pathway for my life. Instead of saying, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I never seem to get any breaks. Nothing seems to go my way. No, zip that up, man. Lord, thank you. You're guiding me down the best pathway for my life. You're making me successful in everything that I do. How about Philippians 4, verse 19? God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How about declaring, thank you, Lord, you supply all my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How about Psalm 5 verse 12? For you, Lord, will bless the righteous, and with favor you will surround him as a shield. Can I tell you, for years and years I've been declaring the favor of God surrounds me. Everywhere I go, people like me. Everywhere I go, people want to bless me. Good things happen because of God's favor that's on me. I'm not talking about saying people like me because of who I am. I'm saying I believe God's favor causes people to be attracted, to want to help me, to want to be a blessing. I've been declaring that for years. I am favored by God. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me, surrounding me with favor. Everywhere I go, I got favor. Amen. You've got to speak favor into your future. You've got to declare, my children will fulfill their destiny. Their gifts and talents will come out to the full. My children will supersede everything that I've done. You know, that's already happening. Our children have gone past what we've done in our life, right? I mean, our youngest daughter, Courtney, and her husband, Sam, they're 28 years old. They're the lead pastors of Hillsong in California. That's three campuses, L.A., Orange County, and San Francisco, 5,000 members. Tomorrow, they're flying to Palm Beach. Brian Houston, who is the founder of Hillsong around the world, he just loves Sam and Courtney. He's flying to Palm Beach with Sam. They're coming here for a few days. They're going to a conference. But I want to tell you that the favor that is on my life is even greater on my children's life. You've got to speak favor over your children. Amen. When you declare favor over your life, over your future, God will make things happen that really should never have happened. Our attitude should be, man, I'm coming out of debt. I'm saying so. 2021 is my year. I'm saying so. I will overcome this obstacle. I'm saying so. My God supplies all my needs. I'm saying so. I'm surrounded by the favor of God. I'm saying so. What you keep saying, that's what you're going to move toward. Maybe you're struggling in your finances. When you keep declaring, I'm blessed, I'm prospering, I have God's favor, everything I put my hand to, it prospers. Blessings, they're chasing after me. Everywhere I go, I'm being overtaken by blessings. Every time you say it, you're moving toward increase. You're getting closer to see it come to pass. If you're facing a sickness, it maybe doesn't look good. Every time you declare, I'm healthy, I'm strong, I'm doing better, the Lord's restoring my health, you're moving toward health. You're moving toward wholeness. You're moving toward victory. Can you say amen? Maybe you're struggling with an addiction. Every time you say, I am free, this addiction does not control me, you're moving toward freedom. You're moving toward breakthrough. But here's the catch. This works in the positive, and it also works in the negative. Because if you're always saying, I'm so unlucky, nobody likes me, I never get any good breaks, nothing ever goes my way, Pastor Steve, then you're moving toward more bad breaks. If you keep saying, my back's been hurting me for years, I don't think it's ever going to get better, you're moving toward more sickness and pain. If you keep saying, I've been through so much, I don't think I'm ever going to be happy again, Pastor Steve, you're moving toward more discouragement, more sadness. If you will change what you're saying, you'll change what you're seeing. Say, if I change what I'm saying, it'll change what I'm seeing. Romans 4, verse 17 says, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God calls things that do not exist light be, and light was. The Passion Bible says God calls into being things that don't even exist yet. And the Amplified Bible says God speaks of non-existent things that He's promised as if they already existed. See, God wants us to do the same thing He does. We must call things into being. We must speak His promises as if they already existed. Are you with me? I'm not saying, oh, Lord, I hope you meet my needs. I pray you meet my needs. I'm saying, my God shall supply all my needs. I'm talking about it like it's already happened. Are you with me? You've got to speak His promises as if they already exist. In Isaiah 57, verse 19, the scripture says, I create the fruit of the lips. God says, I create the fruit of the lips. See, often we do just the opposite. Instead of calling things that do not exist as though they did, we call the things that are the way they are. In other words, we just describe the situation. We say, oh, prices are getting so high. Gas is getting so high. I don't know how I'm going to make it. You're calling in more struggle, more lack. If you say, I can't stand my job, my boss gets on my nerves, I don't know why he just doesn't like me, you're calling in more frustration, more defeat. Don't use your words to describe the situation. Use your words to change the situation. Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 23, one of the greatest teachings on the power of your words, Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will be done, he will have, she will have, whatever he says." See, Jesus told us to speak to the mountain. Most of the time, instead of speaking to the mountain, you know what we do? We speak about the mountain. Have I told you about my mountain? Have I told you about my trouble? And we describe all the challenges and we describe all the problems. Jesus said, if we believe that the things that we say will be done, we will have whatever we say. So you got to be careful what you say. Always, I was thinking about it. What I'm saying, is it what I want? Because if it's not what I want, even though I feel that way, I'm not going to say it. Are you with me? I pulled up at the gas tank yesterday. It was $3.79 a gallon. I remember it was two something, right? Now, I'm tempted to want to make a comment about it. But because I don't care. It's not that I don't care. I don't want gas going up. But whatever, if it's $10 a gallon, my God shall supply all my needs. What are you saying over your life? Because if you want to know what you're going to be like 5 years from now, listen to what you're saying about yourself. Because you're literally prophesying your future. I declare, man, 5 years from now, in the name of Jesus, I declare that 5 years from now, thank you, Abigail, move it on. Abigail, move on to the next one. Thank you. You know what I declare 5 years from now? My youth is being renewed. My youth is being renewed like the eagles. I declare 5 years from now, I'm going to be stronger, healthier, wiser, better looking than I am right now, 5 years from now. I just declare it. Every time you say it, you're moving towards it. You see, if you're always saying, oh, I'm so out of shape. I tell you what, I'm never going to lose this weight. You're moving toward the wrong thing. Every time you say, I just can't lose. Like there's some woman. Oh, if I just 5 pounds, I just got 5 pounds. They had 5 pounds for 20 years because they keep saying, I just got 5 more pounds to go. I've heard people tell me, when you hit 50, it all goes downhill. They're declaring they're going downhill. They're calling in more poor health and weakness. Now, I realize we all going to get old. We're all eventually going to die, but we don't have to make plans to go downhill. You don't have to speak defeat over your life. Do you know what the Bible says about Moses? In Deuteronomy 34, verse 7, it says Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyesight was clear and he was as strong as ever. That's you, Barry. 120 doing CrossFit, man. 120, as strong as ever doing those pull-ups. Barry's a CrossFit champion. I remember Kenneth Hagin. We went to Rhema Bible College back in 1982, founded by Kenneth Hagin, and he went home to be with the Lord. I remember hearing him preach when he was 83. And he was talking about how his sex life with his wife was better than ever. Now, that may not be good news to you, but that was very encouraging to me. That's a man after my heart. 83 years old. Let me tell you, in spite of how you feel, in spite of your family medical history, every day you need to declare over your life, everything about me is getting better. My bones, my joints, my ligaments, my blood, my organs, my memory, my vision, my hearing, my talent, my skill, my looks, my youth being renewed. Like Moses, I'm going to finish my course as strong as I ever was. Amen. You talk like that, man, and you're moving toward renewed youth and health and energy, vitality. That's a lot better than getting up in the morning, you know, looking in the mirror, looking at yourself and saying, oh, man, I'm getting so old. Look at these wrinkles. Look how bad I look. Look at all this gray hair. I'm so out of shape. No, man, you keep moving toward toward that in 5 years, it's going to be scary. You need to have a better say-so. Don't talk about the way you are. To talk about the way you want to be. You're prophesying your future. Maybe today, you're in a difficult time today. Instead of complaining, which will just draw in more defeat, your declaration should be, I have grace for the season. I'm strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord is with me. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is living in me, is giving life to my body. Those that are for me are much greater than those that are against me. If God is for me, what can be against me? See, when you say that, strength comes, courage comes, confidence comes, endurance comes. If you go through a disappointment, you go through a loss, you go through a bad break, instead of saying, I don't know how this happened to me. It's so unfair. Nothing ever seems to work out for me. No, instead of saying that, that's just going to draw in more self-pity. You should be declaring, God, you promised you give me beauty for my ashes. You give me joy for my mourning. You said you'd make what the enemy sent for my harm. You'd use it for my good. I'm not staying where I am. I'm moving forward. There's new beginnings in my future. The rest of my life's going to be the best of my life. This is my year for divine increase in my life. Let me tell you, you talk like that and you're moving toward double for your trouble. You're moving away from self-pity. And you're moving toward God's goodness in a greater way in your life. Amen? Let me tell you, one of the best things we can do is take a few minutes every day and make these positive declarations over our lives. Write down not just your dreams, your goals, your visions, but make a list, any area of your life that you want to improve in, anything you want to see change. Put that list somewhere private and look at it every day. And before you leave the house, take a few minutes and declare it. Speak it over your life. Amen. If you struggle with self-esteem, if you feel less than, every day you need to declare, I am valuable. I am confident. I am one of a kind. I'm chosen by God. I'm wearing a crown of favor. Amen. You declare that. Let me tell you, you'll go out with your shoulders back, with your head held high. If you struggle with your weight, you need to declare, I'm in shape. I'm healthy. I'm my ideal weight. I'm disciplined. I'm full of energy. Amen. It may not be true right now, but if you keep saying it, you're going to move towards it. Instead of living guilty, condemned, focused on your past mistakes, rather declare, thank you, Lord. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm pleasing to you. I'm living holy by your grace. Thank you, Lord. You see, Joel 3 verse 10 says, let the weak say, I am strong. God said, say the opposite. Let the weak say, not, oh, I'm so weak. I'm getting weaker and weaker. No, God said, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the sick say, I'm healed. Let the poor say, I'm rich. Let the fearful say, I'm confident. Are you with me? It doesn't say, let the weak talk about their weakness. Call up 5 friends and explain the weakness that you have. No, you can't talk defeat and have victory. You can't talk sickness and have health. You can't talk lack and expect to prosper. You've got to send your words out in the direction that you want your life to go. When you're in a tough time, and someone says to you, hey, how are you doing? Oh, don't go through this long, sad country western song of everything that's wrong in your life. Oh, my back's been hurting for years. Oh, traffic was so bad today. My boss isn't treating me right. The dishwasher broke. The goldfish died. My dog doesn't even like me anymore. Don't go through this long liturgy of everything that's wrong, because all that does is draw in more defeat. You got to turn it around. You got to have a report of victory. When someone asks you how you're doing, you're going to say, man, I'm doing great. I am blessed. I am healthy. I am prosperous. I'm surrounded by the favor of God. Man, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Because what you consistently talk about, that's what you're moving toward. Are you getting something out of this today? Proverbs 6 verse 2 says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. And another translation says, you're trapped by your own words. You are trapped by your own words. Proverbs 12, verse 6 says, the mouth of the upright will deliver them. So you got a choice. Your words can either trap you or your words can deliver you. When the Israelites arrived at the promised land, and God delivered them from, you know, slavery in Egypt, Moses sent 12 spies to go spy out the land. And when they returned, only two of those spies said what God had promised them. The other 10 spies spoke about, you know, how they could never take the land. In Numbers 13, verse 30, look at this. It says, Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he said, let's go up at once and take possession. We're well able to overcome it. We can do this. Let's go. We can take this promised land. Let's go take possession. But the men who had gone up with him, they said, no, we are not able to go up against the people. They are much stronger than we are. They gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they spied out. They said, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people we saw are men of great stature. We saw the giants there. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight. We look like grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. They had a grasshopper mentality. The only two exceptions was Joshua and Caleb. They said what God had said. They agreed with God. See, God told Moses back in Exodus chapter 6, in verse 8, God said to them, I will bring you into the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as your very own possession. I am the Lord. God promised them that. That was what God said about it. But the whole congregation of the Israelites, they agreed with the 10 spies who said, no, we can't do it. And they wept and they complained the whole night long. They wanted to pick a new leader. They wanted to stone Moses. They wanted to go back to Egypt, back to slavery. They said, man, we wish we died in the wilderness. They get it. They got exactly what they said. Because finally, God appears to Moses. In Numbers 14, verse 28, look what he says. The Lord says, tell them this. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. I'm going to do just what you said. You know what they said? It would be better that we die in the wilderness. And that's what happened. They wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. They could have gone from Egypt to the promised land in 12 days. But they wandered around for 40 years. You know why? Because that's what they said. They had to wait for their children. God waited for them to die. And their children went and took that promised land under the leadership of Joshua. The only exception was Joshua and Caleb. Do you know why? They were the only two that said, let's go take the land. We can do it. God's with us. God's on our side. Come on, let's go run. They were the only two. And 40 years later, when they were 80, they were right at the front. And they went and took the first land. They went into Jericho. Could it be, if we would simply change what we're saying, we would see a dream come to pass. We would see a breakthrough. We would see a healing. We would see a restoration. That's what happened with my father. My father smoked cigarettes for over 25 years. He tried to quit and he couldn't stop. And this is many years ago. My dad went to be home with the Lord in 2013. But I remember our pastor, Pastor Theo, said to him, Pat, I want you just to begin to say, I have no desire to smoke cigarettes. I can't stand the taste of nicotine. And he began to say it day after day, even when he was smoking. I can't stand the taste of nicotine. I have no desire to smoke cigarettes. He just kept on saying it. He was calling things that be not as though they were. He wasn't talking about the way it was. He was talking about the way that he wanted it to be. A few months later, Pastor Theo asked my dad to go away and spend a couple of days in prayer and seeking the Lord. And they went into the mountains and they were and praying and seeking God for like hours every day. And Pastor Theo prays hours and hours every day. So they prayed like 2 hours. And my dad, he was urging for a cigarette, you know. He's been praying. So he goes out of his room. Pastor Theo says, okay, we're going to take a break. We'll meet you for lunch. And he goes to his room and lights up a cigarette. And the moment he lights it up, he starts throwing up. Because he's been saying, I can't stand the taste, the nicotine. And all of a sudden, it happened. And you know what? The desire just left him. He never smoked again. He broke that addiction by the power of his words. He prophesied his future. See, some of you, you've spent years saying negative things over your life. I could never do that. I could never do this. I could never do that. I can't break this addiction. I could never stop smoking. My marriage never going to make it. I'm never going to get out of debt. Blah, 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 blah. Listen, you've got to send your words out in a new direction because you've been prophesying the wrong thing. You need to get in the habit of making these positive declarations over your life. Amen. Every day declare your dreams are coming to pass. It's not enough just to believe it. Nothing happens till you speak. Romans 12 verse 10, I'll close with this. Romans 10:10 says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you know how we get saved? Do you know how we get to know the Lord? Do you know how we become children of God? The Bible says if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you will be saved. Isn't that right? You hear me say that every week. You can believe that Jesus is Lord, but if you never declare it, you'll never be saved. Because confession is made unto. So, like the psalmist, when you say of the Lord, that's when God will do what he promised. So let me lead you in a couple of confessions as we close this today. And I want to ask you to say this like you mean it. Say this with enthusiasm. Say, I am blessed. I am prosperous. I am strong. I am healthy. I am talented. I am creative. I am confident. I am disciplined. I'm focused. I am well-liked. I am favored. I have a good personality. The right people are in my future. The right opportunities, they're headed my way. I will accomplish my dreams. I will overcome every obstacle. 2021 is my year for acceleration, for increase, for breakthroughs. God's about to show me something I've never seen. It's going to be bigger, it's going to be better, it's going to be greater than anything I ever imagined. I am the redeemed of the Lord, and I'm saying so. I'm healed, I'm prosperous, I am strong, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I am more than a conqueror in the name of Jesus. I'm being led down the best path for my life. Everything that I do, God causes it to succeed. Amen. Begin to declare that and speak like that. I tell you right now, you'll be amazed. You will see things begin to happen that will amaze you. There is power in your words. God told Joshua, always keep my word in your lips. Meditate in it day and night. Be careful to do everything it says. Then you're going to make your way prosperous, and then you're going to have success. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you, Father. I thank you for every person who's here and everyone who's listening and hearing this, Father. I just thank you that you confirm your word in their life. I thank you, Lord, that you confirm your word that has been preached. I thank you, Lord, for breakthroughs. I thank you, Lord, for healings. I thank you, Lord, for miracles. I thank you, Lord, that you fight our battles. I thank you, Father. We give you all the praise right now for everything that you're about to do in our life in Jesus' name. Just keep your heads bowed for a moment. Just keep your eyes closed for a moment. I just want to pray right now as we do every service. I want to pray for anyone. If you're here this morning, maybe you're a new person, and maybe you've never been to our church before. And I want to ask you this question. And the question is, are you sure where you stand with God today? If you were to die today, are you sure? Can you say you know without any doubt? You know if you died today, you know you'd go to heaven. Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. But I can't say that I'm absolutely certain, I'm absolutely sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Can I tell you the good news is you can be sure about that? You can walk out of this place today. You can know that all is right between you and God. You can know that every mistake, every sin you ever committed in your life
It's been forgiven. It's been washed away. And you can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you this morning, and I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but just right where you're sitting, while we have our eyes closed and our heads bowed, in the presence of the Lord, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray, because I want to make sure, I want to be sure that all is right, all is well with me and God, and I want to be sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that is you, I'm going to ask you quickly, right now, just slip your hand up, just shoot your hand up in the air. I'm looking for hands. Just raise your hand. Say, yes, pray for me. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. I see hands being raised. God bless you. Everyone who lifted your hand, I want to lead you in this prayer. As you heard me say a few moments ago, in Romans 10, verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So say this prayer with me. Everybody, can we all say this prayer together? Especially if you raised your hand, say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me, to take my sin. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I would confess Jesus is my Lord, I will be saved. I do this today. Say, Lord, I believe you've been raised from the dead. You are the Savior. I ask you to come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I surrender to you. Say, I confess Jesus is Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to follow you, Lord, and I'm going to do what your Bible says. And I thank you because I have received you into my life. I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, if you said that prayer, I want to encourage you, you know, to come back next week, first of all. And as before we close service, my wife's just got a few minutes, a couple of announcements we want to tell you. But then when we close service, I'm going to ask you, if you lifted your hand, just remain where you are. We have a gift for you. One of our volunteers is going to come over to you, give you a gift before you go home. If you lifted your hand, just wait a couple of minutes. We won't keep you long. God bless you, everybody. Thank you, Pastor Jill.
Good preaching.
Thank you.
I didn't say specifically, but happy Father's Day to you. He's such a good dad, such a good pops. The kids are the grandkids can't get enough of him. I promise you, they'll climb over me to get to him. They love their pops. No, it is true. It is true. Not when they're babies, but now. Praise God. Well, family, this is a time in the service where we have the opportunity to give, and there are envelopes that are in your seat, so go ahead and avail yourself of those. Thank you to our faithful givers and tithers, those that are watching online. Thank you for people that give throughout the week. We have some people that have not been back in church since the beginning of COVID, but they send their tithe regularly, and it is such a blessing to the church. So we thank you for doing that. Come up here, Jen and Joey. Sometimes we get to hear people's testimonies, and I just wanted to ask Joey and Jennifer to come up and just share with us a little bit. I'm going to ask him a couple of things. Say hi.
Hi.
Go on. Let's see if it works.
Hello.
There you are. You all know Jennifer and Joey. Well, you know, they have something that really blessed me is because we know about tithing. We know about, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, God, putting God first with a tenth and what have you. But Joey and Jen got had such a revelation that kind of changed things. And I'll let you say something, but what happened was they got together in 2015, and I like what Joey said to me. He said, at that point, I knew the Lord, but I was kind of dragging God along with me. I wasn't following him. And so that was kind of a good explanation, as some people are not actually following God's way. But and you were tithing, and then but then something happened. You said you tell us what you told me.
Okay, so we so I was tithing, and I was tithing out of just basically doing God's word, but not in a thankful and giving way. It wasn't like my heart was open, and I realized that this is not just what God said, but this is me being obedient and loving God the way He chose us to love Him. And so when Jennifer and I got together, it kind of changed a little bit. My heart opened a little bit, and we read a book, The Blessed Life by Robert Morris.
The phenomenal book, and, The Blessed Life by Robert Morris.
And yeah. So he really transformed how we looked at it as not just tithing, but giving. Not just giving our money, but giving our time, giving our heart, and doing it in gratitude. And so the gratitude part was what I really didn't have. I really just was like trying to control it and do it my way. And God said, put me first and see what'll happen. And that's what really changed. We started to, when I got my commission sheets on Monday, we weren't even paid yet. We'd write the check out for our tithe. We wanted to make sure it was first. And we tithed on the whole amount, not what was. And so we were able to homeschool Leo. Jen stayed home. And he grew our income 20% every year for the last 4 years. And so we're at double. And we doubled where we were 5 years ago. And that's just.
That's just Jen staying home and
Jen
homeschooling.
Jen stayed home and homeschooled.
You've doubled completely the income.
And so.
But I like what he said, because you see it's an attitude too. You know, we can do what we, you know, it's like our tithe, but we've got to mix faith with it. We've got to have purpose behind it. We've got to say, Lord, I'm literally putting you first right here.
Right.
I'm like, that is the heart's desire, is to have God first in your life. And there was something else you said. He's like, we got our stimulus check. He's like, we couldn't wait to tithe on that. Sometimes people think, oh, well, if it's something else, something, you know, I get a windfall, I get something, I'm not tithing on that. That's different. But that wasn't your attitude.
We tithed on our stimulus check. We tithed on our home sale. We tithed on everything. And so the biggest thing for me is not what we got monetarily, because we have a bigger home. We have lots of different things that's changed.
Right.
And, you know, Jen gets to stay home. But it's having a relationship with Abby now that's completely different, because my heart's different. My son that wouldn't really speak to me, we're going to spend Father's Day with him, which hasn't happened in 10 years. So it's just when your heart expands, how much more God fills it. And so our family's changed, and finding this church was amazing. The friends we have here, amazing. Yeah, he moved us 10 minutes from our friends, so... Miguel and Natalie, yeah. So we just were very,
free
very grateful.
Eggs. Free
oh,
eggs.
Oh, we have free oh, eggs.
He's got all his
yes.
chickens and his eggs.
Yes.
Praise God. Well, thank you. Thank you. Did you want to say something quick?
Well, I think when we're talking about tithing, oh, I know for me, it initially was a conversation about money. And so I was looking at tithing as, okay, if I'm obedient and I give money to God because it's His first, then He's going to bless me. But what Joey was saying about how our families transformed, that's really where we saw the biggest increase. The money helps, of course, because you need it next to oxygen. But what you really need is you need your relationships, right? We can't survive our day-to-day life without our relationship with Christ and the relationship with people around us. So for us, it was, you know, Joey's children's relationships restored. My daughter has a tremendous testimony that I will not take that from her to share, but there's just so much that He's given, and it wasn't all at once. It was because we were obedient first and trusted that He kept building on it.
I love that. I love that. Thank you for that. That's the gist of that book, The Blessed Life. It's not just about, God, I'll do this, take care of my money. No, it's, I'm going to throw everything I am into your hands. Do what, and Lord, work through my life, and it is in every area anyway. Go ahead, you can give. There's various ways to give. We appreciate it. And and we're expecting to live a blessed life. Amen. I'm going to pray right now. Father, I thank you for each and every one that's giving. Thank you for every household represented here, every man, every woman, every young person, Father God. We just release the blessing of God on their life. We thank you. Your word is true. We declare, as Pastor Steve said, we declare what you say. My God supplies all of our needs. Father, the windows of heaven are open above us, pouring us out more blessing than we have room enough to receive. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, ushers.
Praise
go ahead
the Lord.
And do that.
You know, I'm going to introduce Debbie in a moment, but what I was going to say about obeying the Lord, you know what makes it easy for me to obey the Lord? And this, I think, maybe will help you, is when you know that everything God tells you is because He loves you and He wants the best for you. Every instruction, everything God ever asks you to do, it's because He loves you. I trust in God's love for me so much that if He tells me to bring 10% to give Him 10%, no problem, Lord. When we sold our home and we went to go start the church in Cape Town, we were 27 years old in 1991. The Lord told us, give all the money from the sale of the house. It was everything we had. We gave it all to the church. But you know what? God made it up. He gave us back much more than we ever could have ever given to Him. So what helps me to obey God is I know that God loves me, He loves you, and everything He tells you to do is for your best interest. Now, Debbie, next Sunday, we are having the world-famous fish fry. It's next Sunday. We're having our fish fry. And Debbie is helping to coordinate it. We have Joey. Where's Joey at? Joey and Christine, they're providing all the fish. He told me he's catering for 300 people. And we already tested it, and he did it for our ushers. We had about 30 or 40 ushers, and he did a fantastic job. So next Sunday is the fish fry, and we want to encourage you to please invite someone, bring someone to church next week. We're going to have it after the service. We're going to set up canopies. If you have a canopy that you could bring, you know the little canopy I'm talking about? The little like tent? You know what I mean? If you got one, please will you bring it? Does anyone have one? Does anyone have one they can bring? Would you wave your hand? You got a canopy? We got one. We got two. I got two. I got two. Anyone? Number three. Do we have three? If you can help, come and tell Debbie. We also want you to, we're asking for you to bring a side. So Joey's and Christine are providing all the fish. If you can bring a side, go to see Debbie in the lobby. She's got a sign-up sheet. And write down what they're going to bring next week, okay? Thank you, Debbie. Thank you so much. Help Debbie, somebody. So next Sunday is the fish fry. Amen? It's going to be a lot of fun right after church. Bring somebody. Invite somebody. Will you do that? Thank you for your great enthusiasm this morning. Hey, listen, this is an easy one. Free meal. It's easy to get people for a free meal, isn't it? Come on, stand up with us as we go. Let's give God some thanks. What are you going to sing? Close out with. You are good. Stand up with us as we declare it. You are good, Lord. Oh, we got.
You are. So much for coming this week. You have a blessed
happy
week.
Father's Day.
And happy Father's Day, and we'll see you next Sunday. Don't forget to bring a friend.